Our Old Testament lesson for this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 60th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 7, and it is found on page 639 and 640 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about, and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebarat shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house. Amen. Our New Testament reading will come from the book of Matthew. We'll be reading from the second chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. And it is found on page 835 and 836 of your pew Bibles. So again, listen. Let us listen to God's word for us. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'O you, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' When they had heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." It's the word of the Lord. Gracious God, we ask that you be with all of us during the event of your word. We ask that your words be inscribed on our hearts so that we might be not only hearers of your words, but also doers of your word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've all done it. We've all been on our way, traveling somewhere, somewhere we have never been before, and we reach the place that we believe is our destination, only to discover that it is not. We've come to the wrong place. We've gotten off at the wrong stop. That's what happened to the wise men in our passage this morning. They're on their way to find the newborn baby, the Christ child, born on Christmas Day. In the Greek, they are called magi, where we get our English word magic. But they were considered to be astronomers, men of great wisdom and learning. The Bible doesn't eschew learning and wisdom. It just wants us to understand that the source of all true wisdom and learning begins with God. And so these wise men seem to understand that. They were not Jews, but foreigners, Gentiles, part of the pagan nations outside of the house of Israel, but they have been reading the Old Testament scriptures, including the passage that we read earlier from Isaiah 60 about the nations coming from afar to the light of the world shining in the thick darkness. These wise men have seen the star of the Christ child. And so they gather their riches, their frankincense, their gold, their very lives, and they go in search of the newborn baby to worship him and to pay tribute to him. There are a lot of things that we don't know about these wise men, a lot of things the text doesn't tell us, even though lots of people have tried to fill in the details. We don't know how many there were, though people have suggested that there were three based on the number of gifts that were brought. We don't know their names, though some have ventured down through the ages to give them names like Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. We don't know where in the East they come from, though many scholars have suggested that they probably came from what is now modern Iraq in the Middle East. That place currently caught up in turmoil and strife. There's a lot that we don't know about them, but all we know for sure this morning is that they have seen the star of the Christ child, but they have gotten off at the wrong stop. They've gotten off at Jerusalem. It's good to know that even wise men of great learning can get things wrong sometimes. Perhaps they got it wrong because they were men. Someone once said that had this been a story of wise women, it would have been a totally different outcome. They would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made dinner, brought practical gifts, and there would be peace on earth. I think there is probably a little bit of truth to that. But all we get this morning are men. God often uses the weak things of this world to accomplish God's purposes. And so this story is about wise men. And in the defense of the men, we are told that they have gone to Jerusalem. And if you were looking for a king of the Jews, then Jerusalem would probably be the first place that you would want to stop. Would probably be the first place that you would want to look. It's a big city, was a big city, a bright city. It was the city on the hill. It was the capital of Judea, founded by King David himself. The temple was there, the very locus and presence of God. And the king was there too. It had a king of the Jews. Only he was not the king that the wise men were looking for. But he was none other than King Herod the Great, king of the Jews. We've had occasion before to talk about King Herod. He was not fully Jewish. He was only part Jewish. He was also an Edomitean, but the Romans had installed him as king of the Jews in order to maintain control and order throughout the region of Judea. And Herod was good at that. He reigned as the Roman puppet king for over 40 years. But he was also a cruel and tyrannical leader, paranoid and jealous. He thought nothing of killing in order to preserve his power. He had his favorite wife murdered, and he also had several of his sons murdered. And so when Herod hears that these wise men are looking for a king, he becomes afraid. He becomes troubled. Indeed, we are told that all of Jerusalem is troubled. That's the effect that the baby Jesus has on the world. Either you respond with joy and thanksgiving over the advent of God breaking into our world of darkness in order to make all things new, or like King Herod, you respond in fear. If you like the world the way that it is, if you're comfortable with the world the way that it is, if you benefit in some way from the world the way that it is, then when you hear about this newborn baby breaking into our world, it can be troubling. Of course, we don't have kings and queens in our country today, but each and every one of us are told that we are sovereign over our own lives. We are told that we are the king over our own lives, that we can do whatever we want to, that no one has the right to tell us what to do with our own lives. And so when we too hear that there's a little bitty baby who has broken into this world to challenge us, to challenge our allegiances, to challenge our values, to challenge the way we live our lives, many of us too become troubled and fearful. But it's in the midst of his fear that Herod goes and he consults the priest and the scribes. What in the world are these crazy foreigners talking about? This nonsense about the stars and about kings and all of that. What in the world are they talking about? And the scribes and the priest search the scriptures and report back to Herod that the wise men have stopped in the wrong place. They've been reading the wrong text, the wrong scriptures. They should have been reading Micah 5. And if they read that, they would have known that this newborn baby that they're looking for is not here in Jerusalem, but he's here, he's in Bethlehem, little Bethlehem, the city of bread. And so Herod goes back and he tells these wise men that they're in the wrong place. You need to go to Bethlehem, he says. Just go down, take Bethlehem Pike south about 9 miles. You'll see it. You'll see the sign. Welcome to Bethlehem, birthplace of King David. But don't blink. It's just a small, dusty little place. Only a couple of shops and one stoplight. Nothing significant happening there. But if you do find something, please come back and tell me so I too can go and worship this newborn baby. And so the wise men go, and they set out for Bethlehem. Led by the star, they go to the house of bread, which is what the name Bethlehem means. Maybe you have journeyed to Bethlehem at some point in your life. Bethlehem is that place of vulnerability, that place of humility, that place of self-giving, where life is lived out in open-ended trust in God and lived out in generosity towards the neighbor. It is the place, as Sands Williams notes, where God comes to be with us, not to be served, but to serve, not to dominate us, but to love us and die for us. Not to condemn us, but to forgive us. It is in this small, vulnerable, insignificant place that we are told that the Savior of the whole world is born. Jesus, born in the manger, born in little Bethlehem. I think Matthew tells us this story because he wants us to see both the glory and the danger of Christmas. The glory, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And Matthew wants us to understand that it's this little baby born in Bethlehem who is the Savior of the whole world. Jesus is not just the Savior of Jews. He is not just the Savior of insiders, but he is the Savior of everybody. And so Matthew shows us that it is these outsiders, these foreigners, these Easterners, Middle Easterners to us, Iraqis, Syrians, Iranians. It is these outsiders who are the first ones to see the star, and they are the first ones to worship him and to pay homage to him. We have a tendency sometimes of wanting to bottle God up and act like God is our exclusive preserve, to act like God has only come to bless us or people like us. I hear it all the time. God bless America. God bless our nation. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good as far as it goes. But we need to remember that God has come in the person of Jesus Christ to bless everyone. That God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ for all of us. He is the Savior of the whole world. God bless the whole world. God loves the whole world. This little bitty baby who was born in Bethlehem comes to save all of us. And Matthew wants us to know that. All of Jesus' life, he appeals to those who are the outsiders, to the sinners, to the outcast, to people who others think that he did not come for. And yet they are the people who know deep in their hearts that he's come for them, that he come to save them. Matthew knows that however estranged we are from God, we all have this deep longing, this deep hunger for something different, for something better. We know that the way things are not the way that they are supposed to be. We know that the way that our lives are lived out in this world is not what God desires. But the only way to feel that deep longing, that deep hunger that we have for a better world, is to get outside of ourselves, to strike out in faith, and to go to Bethlehem. We're promised if we go to Bethlehem, the city of vulnerability, the city of humility, that little insignificant city, if we go to Bethlehem, if we follow the star there, that we will see him. We will see the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will see this little baby who is broken into the world to save us. And so we are told to go there. Go to that place of vulnerability. Go to that place of deep humility. Go to that place where we are called to get out of ourselves and stop circling around ourselves and stop making ourselves the center of attention. Go to that place of compassion and generosity. Go to Bethlehem, and you will see him. You will see the baby. But Matthew also wants us to know that there is great danger. He wants us to understand how easy it is to get off on the wrong stop. How easy it is to miss the house of bread and go instead to the house of Herod. The house of fear. The house of jealousy. The house of violence. The house where we try to secure our own existence by stepping on other people. Matthew knows it's easy to get off at the wrong stop. We know a little bit about that house in our own country. We know a little bit about how fear can dominate our lives. The fear of one another, the fear of people who are different from us, the fear of foreigners, of immigrants, the fear to be compassionate, the fear to open up our hearts, the fear to be loving, the fear of embracing other people because we just don't know what will happen. Matthew understands that world, the world of fear, the world where we are constantly circling around ourselves and our own concerns. And he tells us to watch out for that world. Watch out for the world of Herod. Watch out for the world. We're constantly concerned only for ourselves and our standing in the world. So much so that we are indifferent to the plight of other people. And not only indifferent, but we use other people and abuse other people in order to fortify our own lives. The choice for us this morning is between Bethlehem, the house of bread, and the house of fear, the house of Herod. But we are called to venture forth to little Bethlehem, to the small, insignificant, vulnerable city where God breaks in to our world. In W.H. Auden's poem, For the Time Being, he has each wise man explain why he has taken the journey. I journey to discover how to be truthful, says the first wise man. I journey to discover how to live, says the second wise man. I journey to discover how to love now, says the third one. And he goes on, the third one, to say, at least we know for certain that we are three old sinners. This journey is too long, that we want our dinners, that we miss our wives, our books, our dogs, and have only the vaguest idea of why we are who we are. To discover how to be human now is the reason we follow this star. To discover how to be human, that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus comes into the world to show us how to be human, how to be made in the image of God, how to reflect God's glory into the world. And so Jesus comes as a human being to show us what it's like to be a human being, to be human. And that is the choice for us, to be human or to be beastly. To follow the way of Jesus or to follow the way of the world. To follow the way of this little bitty baby or to follow the way of Herod. We are called to be human. That is what this Christmas story is about. That is what God breaking into our world is all about. To help us too to shine. To help us too be points of light. To help us too to reflect God's glory in the world. We are called to be the human beings that God always desired for us to be. People who are called to love, people who are called to be vulnerable with one another, people who are called to live in community and generosity with one another, people who know that we are dependent upon one another, and that we are all connected. To be human, to be human beings made in the image and the glory of God. As we continue in the course of this new year, let us be the human beings that God has called us to be. Let us shine forth like the star that points to our Savior, to our Lord, to the one who comes to show us what it really means to live. Let us go to Bethlehem so that we might bear witness to the loving God who has come so that we might all be truly human. In Jesus' name, let us give glory and honor to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us to be your people. You have called us to see the brightness of your glory shining in the midst of our darkened world. You have called us to step out in faith and to journey towards that new creation that you want for all of us. We ask that you give us the courage and the strength to do just that, to leave those familiar places, those places that we think give us meaning and purpose, and to follow you, to follow the star, to follow the light into new creation. Lord, help us to beware of all of those places where we are called to look someplace else for meaning and legitimacy and purpose in our lives. Help us to bypass those places of indifference, those places of violence, those places of hatred, those places where we see other people simply as a means towards our own ends. Help us to journey forward to you so that we might live in your everlasting light. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is indeed the light of the world. In his name we pray. Amen.